Hello, everybody. It is Guillermo here with a new to you Living the Dream podcast special edition as we enter the final four of the People's Choice Tournament. And do we have a treat for all of you, because on this call I have the four nominators of the four songs that have survived where 259 other songs haven't and are still alive and contending to win the People's Choice Championship. So on the call, we have the nominators of Little Lion Man by Mumford & Sons. Will you introduce yourself, nominator?
Sure. This is Megan.
So Megan nominated Little Lion Man, and Little Lion Man will be facing off against Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. Is that nominator on the call?
Yeah, this is Mark.
So Mark nominated that one. And then on the other side, we have some older songs going head-to-head. Somebody to Love, the Live in Montreal version by Queen. I'm pretty sure everyone knows who nominated that, but you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Giannis. Good to be back on the podcast.
That's right. And Somebody to Love is going up against Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Knight and the Pips. Is that nominator on the call?
Yes, this is Dinah.
All right, so we've got the four nominators here, and I thought it would be nice as we sort of enter into this very crucial last couple of days of voting to just talk with these four individuals about, you know, why they picked these songs, why these songs, each in their own right, should have a shot to win this whole thing, and, you know, just sort of pick their brains a little bit. So let's start on the – what was that? Oh, I thought somebody said something. Okay. Well, let's start on the left side of the bracket where we have the more contemporary matchup. And it's interesting because whereas Mumford & Sons by Little Lion Man, nominated by Megan, started out as a number one seed in her own seeding system, when we did the re-rack, it turned out that it was a legit number one seed. And that only happened for one other song. Just going to plug for myself here. The only other song that happened before was Romeo and Juliet, which lost last round, which is fine. But, so Megan, why Little Lion Man? You know, we saw Roll Away Your Stone last round, and Mumford sort of, you know, surprised in a way, and I think maybe, you know, people that didn't know Mumford now have a better appreciation for Mumford. But why Little Lion Man? Why was that your top choice to nominate?
Sure. I got introduced to Little Lion Man last summer, and I am definitely one of those addicted to songs people, and I probably listened to it, I don't even know, like 1,000 times the first month I listened to it, and I have yet to get sick of it. I sort of went through specific artists that I was hoping to nominate, and I knew Mumford & Sons would be on there. That was probably the first one. I thought it could appeal to a lot of different types of people. And I went through a couple of different songs from their album. I had not heard Roll Away Your Stone before, and I really liked it. And there were a few others I got turned on to. And just kind of, I was driving actually down to Marathon Monday in New York to see you and Giannis, and was listening to a whole bunch of them with Adrak in the car, and it just kind of wasn't much of a question. Even though I liked other ones, I thought that this was the most catchy and seems relatable, even if you've ever fucked up or been on the other side. And who doesn't like, you know, singing obscenities that are emphasized like that? Except for maybe my parents, who are not in this tournament, thankfully.
Right.
I think banjos are awesome, so I like the banjo.
Yep. No, Little Lion Man's an interesting one, though, because, you know, I mean, does it have a positive message, really? Like, you don't really see songs that are so self-deprecating in terms of, like, what they're trying to say as Little Lion Man, you know, being so catchy and being so successful. It's sort of one of those, I think we had a podcast last tournament where we talked about, like, songs like Dancing in the Dark, for example. I knew that I was going to bring the Voss into this somehow. But Dancing in the Dark is another, like, really poppy song where if you listen to the lyrics, it's actually, like, really sad. And, like, you know, it's sort of the same thing with Little Lion Man. So do you think it, like, derives additional energy from being this weird juxtaposition of, like, a really fast, fun beat, but also, like, a really, you know, sad song lyrically?
I think so. I mean, I like happy songs. I liked Home a lot, and I was sad to hear that it didn't go on. I would have nominated that if you hadn't nominated it. But I don't necessarily find it as a sad song. I think it's kind of a little angsty, a little angry, but not over the top. So I think that the beat definitely helps balance out a little bit and makes it still fun for me. So I like it.
Well, that's good. I mean, everybody else likes it, too. That's why it's done so well. So.
I was looking that there would be a little fatigue coming on, and you never know.
You never know. We're down into the nitty-gritty, especially in these last rounds, you know, songs. You just got to listen to them back-to-back, and if it can't survive that sort of endurance test, then, you know, it falls away. But these four songs have, so... Kudos to you for your nomination, and thank you. And we'll all consider, you know, that as a potential People's Choice champion. But before it can get to that final, it has to get past what I can only call the upstart, Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. And I'm really happy to have Mark on the line. Mark and I went to graduate school together, and we've discovered since I've left that we both really like music, and I'm really happy that he's been participating in these tournaments. He has a very deep knowledge of it. And he nominated a bunch of songs that did really well. You know, Fake Plastic Trees, people were looking at for a while as a potential contender, and that had a, who did that lose to? It was a really big upset. Giannis, do you remember who Fake Plastic Trees lost to?
No, I tried to block it out. I was sad about that loss as well.
Yeah, I think I've tried to forget.
Well, it lost to somebody in its division championship, and it was an upset. But let's get on to Florence and the Machine, which, you know, is an interesting member of this quartet because, I mean, even Little Lion Man, I mean, people know Mumford. And, you know, Florence is up and coming, but it was definitively a song that in those early rounds you had a lot of comments. I've never heard this song. This song is amazing. And as it sort of plunged through the rounds, more and more people started getting on board. And all of a sudden, you know, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that would have picked the Florence horse as a Final Four contender from the beginning. But Mark, can you tell us why you nominated this song or how you feel about it or why it should have a shot for the People's Choice Championship?
Yeah, sure. So I was a bit surprised that this is out of the four songs I nominated has made it to the Final Four. I mean, like you said, the others, Radiohead is the main other contender, and that was my number one, alongside a Fleetwood Mac song and an Adele song. So
yeah.
I think for this to be the one out of those four that's come through, I kind of love it because I think in this kind of tournament where the voting works as it does, I think a lot of the popularity of songs sometimes comes down to a kind of nostalgic tag that people have that associate with a song. And this, and I guess Mumford Sons as well, being the two contemporary songs left, aren't necessarily going to have that for a lot of people. And I love that people have picked up on it, don't necessarily know the song so well, but have still carried it through. And I've kind of got a soft spot on a few levels for Florence and the Machine. One, I think, because they're British. And two, because they've really been sort of supported by their country. And like Radio 1 back home is the main commercial, the BBC radio station back home, and they're really well known for nurturing new bands and like carrying them through, and they've been hyping Florence and the Machine for years before they really broke, especially internationally. And I love that they've come this far, and I think I first fell in love with this song. I was actually on a little road trip. I'd flown home to see my mum and dad, and I had a few hours to drive by myself, which I'm not used to. And this song came on the radio, and I'd heard it a couple of times before, but hadn't really noticed it as a standout. And it's that perfect kind of driving song, like windows down, once the clapping starts, it kind of, I really got into it, and I stopped at a gas station, bought the CD, and just played it on loop for a lot of that journey. And I think, like a lot of us, we go through stages where you're sort of semi-obsessed with a certain song, and I certainly had that with this song, and it's I've been shouting about it to anyone who'll listen since.
That's a really good story. I think Giannis and I both sort of alluded to the fact that a lot of the music has to do with driving and listening to music and road trips in general. And there's something very special about discovering a song that you really like while you're sort of solo in the car. So I definitely really appreciate that story. And the other thing about Dog Days Are Over, I mean, I mentioned this in my last comment. I think Chris Rumba might have mentioned this too, but there's something really awesome about the fake ending. And when I think fake ending, I always think of Night Moves by Bob Seger, because that's sort of everyone's like least favorite fake ending. But it's sort of the opposite for Dog Days Are Over. You know, everything comes to a pause when she goes into her soprano, and then all of a sudden, like, the percussion drops at 4 minutes, and it's not over. And I don't know, it's incredible. There's a really, really good use of instrumentals in the song, and you know, I think it's a great contender, and you know, thank you for nominating it and introducing it to all of us.
No, you're welcome. I'm glad people like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's the more contemporary side, and it's funny how that has ended up, where, you know, no matter what happens between Mumford and Florence, there will be a song that was produced in the last 5 years. Actually, when was Dog Days produced, Mark?
2009, the album first came out in the UK, but I think it was last year in the US.
Okay, so not even 5 years. We're talking like 2 years. And you brought up an excellent point. You know, like, we don't have nostalgia to really attach to Mumford or Florence. They sort of have to stand on their own musical credibility. So that's an interesting, you know, match, and I'm excited to see what happens in this Final Four matchup. But on the other side, we have the blast from the past from two different decades, but both songs, you know, both songs over at least 25 years old, probably at least over 30 years old. You know, we've got the Queen, and then we've got the Gladys Knight and the Pips. So we'll start with Queen and Giannis. Somebody to Love, you nominated a live version of a song that, you know, I think admittedly, if you had nominated the normal version, I can't imagine it would have gotten as far as it has. I played the normal version while I was out a couple days ago, and it just doesn't bring to the table what that live energy does. And you had a lot of flack early on in terms of, I don't like live songs, or I do like live songs, or spoke up and other people have spoken up. But what is it about this song where you were saying from the very beginning, before this tournament even started, that you thought this song had a shot to go all the way, and here it stands at the Final Four and the cusp of championship? Why Somebody to Love?
Yeah, well, I'm not somebody who has always loved Queen. You know, I think that growing up, I knew the same really famous Queen songs as everybody did. You know, I knew all the words of Bohemian Rhapsody and heard the stadium rock songs when I went to sporting events and maybe listened to Another One Bites the Dust every now and then. But I wasn't a real big Queen fan or anything. And when Under Pressure and Bohemian Rhapsody were just cleaning up in the last tournament, you and I did a podcast. And at one point I asked, you know, why could we have nominated other Queen songs since they seem to be doing so well? And I started just exploring their catalog and getting into songs I hadn't heard before. And as you said, Somebody to Love, the studio version, it's a good song. It's not spectacular. I always thought it was very overproduced. I was reading that for the studio version, that Brian May, Roger Taylor, and Freddie Mercury basically 30 times tracked their vocals, so they have a 100-person choral arrangement going, which sounds cooler than it kind of turns out. In the end, it sounds a little bit almost computer-generated. And so what I liked about the live version is that it just felt much more authentic. It felt much more like a rock song, driven by the piano and a blistering solo and the backup vocals, you know, trying to fight through the loud instrumentation, but making it through. It's remarkable that the main backup vocal you hear is Roger Taylor on drums, which, you know, in a stadium rock setting, it's pretty rare. So from the first time I heard the live version, I was just very taken by it. It's so energetic, like you said. In fact, I pretty much exhausted myself on Talking Heads until except for nostalgic purposes at this point. And Talking Heads had long been my Friday night, Saturday night, you know, I need a little boost of energy. What am I going to listen to right before I go out music? And this song stepped right in and has become, for months now, my one of the few songs that I'll really consider rocking out to before rolling out the door. And and when it came time to nominate songs for the People's Choice Tournament, I was a little conflicted about nominating this song because we had just gone through two Queen songs that everybody listened to a million times last round, last tournament, and I had plenty of other bands I was interested in putting out there. But like some other people, like I know Ad Rock and like you and some other folks, I did my own personal tournament, and as expected, the song did really well. So I decided to give it one of my middle seeds. I think I might have given it like my three or four seeds, so it would have a favorable positioning, but I was more interested in getting LCD Sound System out there, and that was just thoroughly rejected, losing to a 16 seed with no vocals at all. So this is the one that made it, and I think it's so blistering. It's got such good energy, and it's long, too. So at the end, when you're thinking, all right, this song's kind of been going on for a while, what's next? And that's when Mercury busts out those crazy vocal chops that only he has, except maybe, you know, Bono also in the mid-80s had chops like that. And I think that's why you see people giving it 10s, just because just when it would be letting up, it just shoots back into your bloodstream and finishes as strong as it started. So I'm glad other people have gotten into it, and I'm frankly just surprised that people have been giving Queen another five, six rounds of listening after last tournament.
Yeah, no, there's something to be said about Queen's success in these tournaments. I mean, there's something special that band does that no other band, you know, does. And even the Queen songs that didn't get as far, like, I mean, I will never forget. Maybe it's just because I love Jump by Van Halen, and I just love it. And it lost in the first round at the last tournament to Another One Bites the Dust. And I was just like, how is this possible? But that song just kept beating things. And, you know, that's arguably not, you know, even top, I mean, maybe it's top five, I mean, four or five, but, you know, it's really not a preeminent Queen song. And another thing I wanted to mention about the version of Somebody to Love that we've been playing is there's something really great about those live performances where you actually get to get, like, a glimpse or, like, a nudge of who this artist actually really is. And you get some of that when you listen to, like, Freddie say, like, what is it, Here We Go at the beginning or something.
Okay, Let's Go. Yeah.
Okay, Let's Go, and at the end, depending on what version we pull on Groove Track, you hear him, like, say, like, everybody take off your clothes, and like, you, like, think, like, this guy's crazy, but he's so freaking talented, it's just...
Oh, well, you know, it would be totally unfair to post the YouTube clip, to embed that into the actual tournament, but, I mean, if you've ever seen it, it's just, he's just a mesmerizing... physical creature as well, just like, you know, just moving around and getting so fired up. And there's this great scene where he's playing at the piano, and then just as he gets up from the piano to do his like main vocal parts, and like throws him a microphone and he catches it in the air. it's the whole. I just can't imagine being at that concert live in Montreal. It must have been unreal.
Yeah, and I knew that if I was going to do a Bruce plug, I was going to immediately follow it with a Fleetwood plug. And I know Mark already mentioned Fleetwood, but in that same sense of getting sort of a sentiment of what's going through an artist's head when they are performing, and you talked about what you see when you see the video, I just want to put a last plug out there and encourage everyone to watch the live Silver Springs from the Fleetwood Mac reunion tour and watch how hard Stevie Nicks is looking at Lindsey Buckingham when she's doing that last chorus or those last lines, because it's freaking incredible. And you better believe in the next major music tournament I'm nominating that one. So Queen is looking strong. Thank you, Giannis, for your thoughts. But last, and certainly not least, in what can only be described as a major upset of the Elite Eight, the most major upset of the Elite Eight, Midnight Train to Georgia inches out Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits by 0.3 points with scores in the 200s to advance to the Final Four as a 7 seed. And we have Dinah on the line, and, you know, I'm really interested to hear what Dinah thinks about this, because I know that she also likes Romeo and Juliet in the same way Megan said that if, you know, if I hadn't nominated him, she would have. I think Dinah probably would have nominated Romeo and Juliet if I hadn't. So first thoughts on the win, and then just thoughts on the song in general.
First of all, this is really fun. I love hearing what everyone has to say about their songs. But Romeo and Juliet is like my favorite, but you had already nominated it. So I went to my next favorite, which was Gladys Knight and the Pips, Midnight Train to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so I was listening to it before this call, and I got all excited because I was listening to it. And I think there are a couple of reasons why I nominated it, which I'd never thought about before, but now I'm thinking about it. And one, I think, is it's kind of unexpected, the song, because she starts out singing, L.A. proved too much for the man. She's talking about her man and how it's, like, how he can't deal with it and how he's leaving. And at first you think that he's leaving her, but in fact she's going with him. And that's like, that's totally unexpected, and it's kind of cool. And
yeah.
So it, and then as the story goes, as you listen to the song, you know, it's like she's explaining the backstory. She's sort of, you know, talking to the Pips, and she's like, this is how I feel. And the Pips are kind of egging her on as the story goes, as the song goes on. And by the end, she's like, she can't wait to get on that train, you know. She's like, I got to go. And it's just, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. So I think that I love the story of it. And I also, I think she also turns it, I think the song is also sort of about, you know, she sings dreams don't always come true, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something sort of authentic about singing about that.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's able to turn it into a hopeful song. You know, dreams don't always come true, but it's a joyful song. You listen to it and you get pumped up, you know, and you're like, all right, I think it's going to work out with those two on the Midnight Train to Georgia. So mm-hmm. I love the song.
So this is a song that you've liked for a long time. You aren't one of those ones that discovered it on 30 Rock like so many other voters.
No. I mean, I was trying to remember my first recollection of Gladys Knight, and I think it was the Muppet Show, Heard It Through the Grapevine. It was her rendition of it. And I think that's what turned me on to Gladys Knight. And then the Pips, like, I just love it. I just love it. I've been loving it for, like, 20 years probably.
Yeah. So here we have, like, a survivor of Motown versus, you know, Queen, one of the biggest range rock bands of all time. And then on the other side, we have this, I mean, Mumford's British, right? Am I wrong?
They're Irish, yeah.
They're Irish. Oh, I'm sorry. that's an important distinction. I'm sorry, Mark. So Mumford's Irish, and then Florence is British. So we've got, you know, sort of the American on one side, the Isles on the other side. We've got historical music on one side, contemporary music on the other side. I guess I know you guys have things to do, and, you know, some of you are lawyers and some of you are music people and some of you are, you know, teachers, and everyone's got to do things. But just maybe to close it off, let me start with Megan and Mark looking at Somebody to Love versus Midnight Train to Georgia. Megan, what are you thinking? Like, I know that we don't know what our scores are until we vote, but are you leaning one way or the other on that one?
That's a little tough. I mean, I like both of them. That might be more of a moment thing, which one strikes. It'll definitely be hard. I think actually both matchups will be hard because I really like the Florence as well. And so, I don't know. I might just try to see what happens. But I don't know. I've had Midnight Train to Georgia stuck in my head for a couple of days, so might be leaning that way.
We'll see what happens. Mark, thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, I should say, I've just Googled Mumford & Sons, and I'm wrong. They're actually English, so sorry about that. Fact check.
I want my song to win so badly, I'm going to change the nationality of the other song so that I feel better about voting them down.
That's bad. I love the Irish. I was shooting myself in the foot. Well, the thing about these two songs for me. I actually love Little Lion Man as well. So I'm as much as it hurts me, I'd be totally happy with either of them going forward. The other matchup, I think I've got to go with Gladys. I'm kind of surprised that wasn't in the main tournament actually. It's a total classic song. I think that deserves it.
Yeah. That was sort of when we were nominating, I was talking to some other regular voters about what to nominate, and the big question was, do I nominate these songs that aren't that well known that I hope people know, or do I like seek out songs that I think should have been in the original tournament because I know once people hear them, you know, they will advance. And so those, like, in that group would be like, you know, Gladys, and in that group would be like Romeo and Juliet, and still haven't found what I'm looking for, like songs that just barely missed, you know, the nod. But, you know, it's music in the end, and everyone has to stand on their own 2 feet, whether they're from the 21st century or, you know, the 1960s. So, all right, so let's turn to Giannis. Thoughts on your competitor and thoughts on the other side?
Well, I mean, I definitely have to tip my hat to Midnight Train to Georgia. I actually gave it the highest score out of the four remaining songs last round. As I wrote in the comments section, I just was very impressed with how Gladys closes out the song. And it may have been just the most soothing song in the midst of a hurricane out of the remaining songs. So we won't have that going for it this time, hopefully. I've given all four of these songs good scores consistently. I have voiced from time to time that I don't quite share Dinah's love of the pips. I think they sometimes kind of get in the way. And that superstar, he didn't get far line, it drives me crazy. It lowers the score every time. So, you know, I think it depends what setting I'm in. I think if I'm in a, you know, in the finals, I would worry a little bit about Midnight Train just because I think the more raucous the setting, the more it favors the upbeat songs like Queen and Florence and Machine. And actually, Mumford and Sons is a little plenty upbeat as well. But in the semifinals, where most people are just going to be in the comfort of their homes, I think it's a very worthy foe. And I could totally see things going either way. On the other side of the bracket, Mumford and Sons, I give the same score almost every time. It's a very beautifully written song. I think it probably has the least emotional punch of the four, in my opinion, although that's just my opinion, of course. Like the other three, I feel like really are a little more soul-stirring, so I can see Florence maybe taking that one. I'm not really sure how I'm going to vote. My average has probably been a little higher for Little Lion Man than Florence and Machine, but Florence and Machine is coming on very strong the last couple rounds. If I were a betting man, I'd probably put, like, you know, 60-40 on Florence. And then once you get to the finals, it's a crapshoot, especially because if the finals anything like last time, we'll have a lot of people who haven't been voting as regularly, and they come in with their own opinions. Well, I think all of us have kind of shaped each other's views of the songs as the tournament's gone along, which is a good thing. I think it's a great part of the tournament, as we all kind of acknowledge the strengths and weaknesses of the songs in the tournament together, and we all kind of go through this experience. Then you get the finals, and people are just like, no, that song sucks, and I'm going to go for that one. So if the finals are totally unpredictable, I wouldn't dare make a prediction about that.
All right, that's fair enough. And I definitely agree with you. I mean, before Dinah often moved to California, she was at the D.C. Red Derby party, where she was witness to me handing ballots out to lots of unsuspecting bar attendees, forcing them to vote in my music tournament. So, things can swing wildly in the final, and we'll just sort of see what happens. All right, so Dinah, thoughts on Queen and thoughts on the other side?
I mean, Queen is classic, you know. I think it boils down to if you want classic or contemporary. And I guess that'll be, like Megan said, like a game time decision, I think, at least for me. And I think for many of the voters. But I don't think anyone can go wrong here. I think these are all great.
Yeah? No, yeah. You're just going to sort of see what happens?
I know what I'm going to vote for, you know? So we'll see.
I agree with you on that one. I never know what I'm going to vote for. And actually, I made an offhanded comment in my last post saying I'm pretty sure I've voted against my songs more often than I have voted for them. And I haven't gone back to do the math, but that may very well be the case, you know. It's really something special when you get as big of a group and as diverse of a group of voters as we have, whether, you know, it's Megan in Boston or, you know, Mark and Giannis in New York and Dinah in San Francisco and the many, many other cities we have represented in this thing. And you say, hey, like, what's your favorite song? Like, what do you want to sort of compete in a People's Choice tournament? And, you know, this has been a good summer stretch, and, you know, we're coming to a close here, and I think that the fact that I have voted against my own songs, and I voted, literally, I mean, Giannis will tell you this, this is sort of a deep irony. I didn't have internet, and I went out to an establishment where I normally get internet, and they didn't have internet either, and I was playing pool with this, like, old man, and I finally, the jukebox still works, so I played the song, and I wrote down the vote, and with 5 minutes to go, I called Giannis, and I was like, Giannis, I don't have internet, but I'm going to text you my votes so you can put them in. And Giannis took over my post as well. And the deep sort of irony, but I own it, is the fact that me and this old man I played pool with loved Midnight Train to Georgia and just weren't feeling Romeo and Juliet. And those last couple votes were the ones that, you know, made it so that Midnight Train to Georgia defeated my last remaining song. But I'm fine with that, because the whole point of this isn't to, like, up your own songs or, like, hammer, like, a 10-1 just because you want to win something that is really sort of meaningless. The whole point of this is to listen to new songs and sort of, like, you know, get in touch with your own musical inclinations and appreciate those of others. And, you know, just everybody, you know, enjoys good music in the end. So to you four, I thank you so much for nominating the songs that you have. I love all four of these songs as well, and I equally don't know how I'll vote. And no matter who ends up winning this thing, I know that I have already personally purchased like 15 or 20 songs that I had never heard before, including like songs as diverse as that weird techno German song that Carrie nominated that went out in the first round that I really dug, all the way to like all four of these songs. I mean, I had some of them. I didn't have Little Lion Man. I didn't have Dog Days. I bought those. And, you know, it's sort of part of my workout mix, part of the daily mix. So thank you for nominating these songs, and, you know, may the best song win, but whoever wins, you know, we all sort of take these songs away with us, so that's a good thing.
Well said.
Thanks. I didn't rehearse that. I'm not reading up a piece of paper. I'm just hanging out with a helicopter on my porch. But regardless, I know this call has gone on longer than I said it would, and I'm sorry for that, but thank you so much for your opinions, and I hope to see the four of yours votes in the coming week, as well as the votes of all of the listeners and Living the Dreamers, and have a wonderful night. And last but not least, I know that Giannis, for you New York voters, is throwing a one-year anniversary of livingthedream.org party in the city. Do you want to just give a quick plug for that?
Yes, it's timing is wonderful, because Saturday night, the night of the last night of the finals, is also the one-year anniversary of the website. So, Mark, I know you're in New York. We're going to be at Duke's on 9th and C, and I'll be putting up info on the website in case anybody's stealthily keeping track of the tournament without informing us.
Great stuff.
Yeah, no, that would be really great. So all you New Yorkers get out there. In terms of my travel plans, I would normally throw a D.C. party, but I might be going to Rhode Island this weekend. I'm still figuring out my plans. But anyways, everyone have a good night. Vote with your heartiest of hearts, and best of luck. Take care, everyone.